Father, today for your goodness. May the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. Give us revelation of the Word of God today. Open the eyes of our understanding. We believe we have hearing ears to hear from heaven today, and help me to communicate your Word in such a way that we can hear it and just go do it. It's in the doing of the Word we grow. It's in the doing of the Word our lives are transformed. And we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand, tell them, pay attention today. God's going to talk to you. He talks to us in His Word. Amen. He talks to us in His Word. Well, I'm so glad you're here this morning. And God wants us to know Him as a friend. We know Him as Lord and Savior and servant and master, but He has a whole nother level of relationship He wants us to know Him as, and that's as a friend. In fact, in the book of John chapter 15, verse number 15 from the New King James, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So it's one thing to say, you know, I've met that person before. I've met them before. And something goes, so you know what? I know them. That person is my friend. That guy's my friend. And I've got his cell phone number. I can call him whenever I need to. It's more than just saying I met somebody once and got their autograph. Oh, I met somebody once and shook their hand amongst 100 other people and they were shaking hands. It's something else to say, that person is my friend. And that's what God wants with you and me, a relationship. He offers us a friendship. Friends share things with friends. They don't just share with anybody else. There's trust that's been built in a friendship. Forgiveness has happened. Remember this. Forgiveness is the oil of relationships. Remember that. Because in any kind of a relationship, in any kind of a friendship, forgiveness is going to have to flow to maintain the relationship. Can I say amen? Can you say amen or say oh no? All right. So someone's going to hurt your feelings. Someone's going to misunderstand something. Someone's going to take something the wrong way. Someone's going to hear something that was not said. And that's why we need forgiveness. Are you listening to me now? One thing we can't do in heaven is sin. That happens here on earth plenty, does it not? So one thing we can't do in heaven is forgive somebody else. That happens here on earth, or it should. And that's why God gives us the power of His love to forgive. And He forgives us. Amen. And so we know Him in prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is communicating with the Father. And we know Him in His Word. The Word of God is God talking to us. The number one way God talks to us is in His Word. The Bible is God speaking to you and me. So we've talked about this, and you can and go online. You can stream those services. They're on the website for free on how we can know Him in prayer and how we can know Him in His Word. The third thing I want to talk about today is how we can know Him. We know Him in His family. We know God by being a living part of His living family. That is called the church. The church matters so much to Jesus that He said, "I will build my church." Those are huge words. I will build my church. See, the church, people say, "Oh, did you go to Ray's church?" It's not Ray's church, it's Jesus' church. Ray did not hang on a cross for any of you, nor would I, all right? Maybe, all right? But Jesus already did that. Can you imagine Jesus hanging on a cross for you and for me? My goodness, you know, if I get on that soapbox, I'll never get off of it. Let's just say, suffice it to say, Jesus lays claim to you and to me. It's not, in one place it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. It's His flock. You belong to Him. This is His church, not Ray's church, not Ray and Esther's church. It is Jesus' church. He's the head of the church. He's the great shepherd. I'm an under shepherd, but I'm going to give an account to Him one day. Think of it. That's why I need your prayers. One of the best ways you can support this church is pray for me. I need your prayers. Paul begs them in the epistles, pray for me. But his prayer requests are different than what you might think. He's like, pray for me to have boldness when I speak the word. He's like, pray for me that God protects me from people with hidden agendas. See, we think, oh, pray for him for blessing, pray for him for health. And Paul doesn't even ask for those prayers there. Now, of course, that's good. But Paul's prayers are way more specific than that. Pray for me to hear from heaven. Pray for me to have boldness to share the way I ought to share because people's lives are at stake. So one of the best ways you can participate in the life of the church right here is to pray for me and pray for Pastor Esther. Amen? Because all of us, now every Christian has a big bullseye on their back. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you hang a bullseye on your back. But so what? We have the shield of faith. We have the armor of God. We have the helmet of salvation. So be it. The devil's under our feet. Amen? And yet, with that being said, we still need your prayers. And so, man, pray for me. And so Jesus, this church belongs to him. He's the head of the church, but I'm going to give an account to him. Think about it. You're not going to give an account. I'm going to give an account. Those are very, very sobering words to me. The older I get, and I'm not old yet, I'm just saying the older I get, all right? The more those words, that's serious stuff. That he's going to call me and her together before him, and we're going to give an account of the stewardship of his flock. I mean, you're his family. It's a big deal. I mean, if you ever had, people don't just randomly pick babysitters to watch their kids for 2 hours at dinner. They're real strict. I mean, some people don't even do that. Well, how much more than God for people to watch? That's a big deal, isn't it? Amen. So anyway, we get to know him and his family. I was formed for God's family. God's second purpose for my life is fellowship. Fellowship. To be an active member of a local church. To be a living part of a living family of believers. God does not want any believer to be an island, all right? God doesn't want any person to be off by himself somewhere. No spiritual hermits. No spiritual hobos. Hello? God wants us to be part of a family. That's not even in my notes. That came out pretty good, all right? Here at Family Life, we say this, believe, belong, become. Believe, belong, become. Many people think believing is all that God requires of us. Nothing can be further from the truth. Believing is the beginning point. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning point. But you read the book of Acts, which is all the acts of the apostles in the early church and how it formed and all the things that they did. There's no just solo believers out there saying, no, I don't need church. Man, they gather together. They hang together. They pray together. They eat together. They study together. They worship together. They believe together. When Peter gets out of prison, the first thing he does is goes to the church meeting. The first thing he does is goes where the believers are all praying together. When Peter and John were persecuted for the miracle at the Gate Beautiful and they were threatened by the Pharisees, and the first thing they did was return to their own companions and report all the chief priests had said to them. Listen, you need a church family. You need people who stand with you and believe with you and hold up and hold your hands up and watch your back and pray for you and encourage you. Hey, and at different times, correct you. The Bible says reproofs of correction are the way of life. Maybe people are too prideful to be in church. Anybody who says, I don't need church, they're either arrogant or ignorant. They're either prideful or they just haven't been taught. They don't realize the blessing of coming together, the blessing of a spiritual covering, a blessing of being part of a church family. And that's God's plan for you and for me. So here at Family Life, we say believe, belong, become. Believing is a starting point of my relationship with Jesus, but he has so much more for me. Listen, I was created to belong, not just believe. And everybody has this yearning to belong. People stay in abusive relationships because they want to belong. People join gangs because they want to belong. People will sometimes lower their own standards just because they want to belong. Because that's in us. God created us that way. God put in us. It's in our DNA. God put in us a desire to be a part, to belong, amen? But what we must belong to is something bigger than us, something with significance, something where the sum is greater than the totality of its parts. You follow me? Something that is doing something for God, something with eternal significance. Now, there are many things we can belong to. I think team sports are great. All my sons play team sports. I play team sports. I think team sports are a great thing. But you know what? After a while, the season is over. I think there are many things we can be a part of, maybe charities and maybe groups and things like that, that are all great. But when you die, that is over. Only one thing has eternal significance. There's only one thing we can take to heaven with us, and that is people who come to Jesus. That is souls who are won for his kingdom. Are you with me now? Only what we do in obedience to God for God's kingdom will pass on to eternity. The Bible speaks over and over again of rewards in heaven. Lay up for yourselves rewards in heaven. And so we say it like this. You can't take it with you. You can send it on ahead, right? Rewards in heaven. Amen. And so I will never, now just listen, I will never know God the way I should. I will never mature the way I should apart from a local church family. You can set that in stone. I will never know God the way I should. It's impossible. How are you going to develop the love? How are you going to develop the love walk without loving unlovely people? You all right? Amen? So God will use challenging situations to grow us. He doesn't send them all, but he will use them all. Amen? I mean, hey, people in the gym who want to get stronger, they add weight to the bar. So when you're praying, God, I want to grow in love, then you get ready for opportunities to grow in love. Amen. You all right out there? You gone home, huh? But how's that going to happen solo? It's not. How are you going to obey any of the love one another, greet one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, and support each other? How can that happen unless you're with one another? All these things sharpen us as believers. All these things grow us as believers. And I will never know God the way God intends for me to know him if I'm not part of a local church family. Amen? God wants me to be an active member of his family, which is the church. We're going to look in the book of Ephesians, please, from the New Living Translation, chapter 4, verse number 11. You with me so far? Ephesians 4, verse number 11. This is God's intention. Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So I am responsible to help you grow. That means you're never going to grow without a pastor. You're never going to grow without being part of a local church family. The Bible says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, which is the body of Christ. Amen. Verse number 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature. We're trying to grow people up in the Lord. And we're never going to become mature in the Lord apart from a local church family. This will continue until we all be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. I'm never going to grow up. Apart from the local church. I don't need church. That's immature. I don't need church. That's either arrogant or you've not been taught. One or the other. It's prideful or it's ignorant. But it certainly isn't Bible. Amen. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. There's a protection in being part of a local church family. There's a protection in being under the care and love and instruction of a pastor, which is what I am to the core. Where we had lunch with, I think we might have his picture up today, I'm not sure, with Joe Hernandez from Dubai. He was in town for a couple of days, and we had lunch. He's a missionary to the Middle East. We're going to begin this month in March supporting. His emphasis will be his ministry this month in March, Family Life. Joe Hernandez was in the Marine Corps in Desert Storm. and became a believer, a strong believer, while he was in the service. And he was over there praying in the Middle East, saying, God, I pray for this. I pray for these people. Will I ever come back here? And within just really within, I think, a quarter of a mile from where he was praying is where his ministry is now in the Middle East. Can you imagine that? Like 20 years later, or however many years ago that was, Desert Storm. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine? That's beyond, only God. Only God. And so we're having lunch with them. The four of us are together on Friday. And we were talking about ministry and stuff like that. And his ministry is so different than what I do. And something came up. And I just said, well, I'm a pastor to the core. I was born for this. I was born to do this. And then they were making people always joke about Southern California. I go, I was born for Southern California. I was born here. I was born to be here. Danielle put her hand up and said, give me five. She goes, I love that spirit. I love to hear that. Now, I'm not going to complain about Southern California. I'm not going to complain about the call of God. Does complaining help you? Has anybody got victory by? Hello, right? And so we're never going to grow to full maturity without being under the care and the love and the instruction of a pastor. That's why I get to love what I do. These verses wind me up. I'm telling you up. And so we see here, I will never go to full maturity in Christ apart from church. Amen? Again, the Bible knows nothing of solitary Christians, spiritual hermits, who isolate themselves from other believers and deprive themselves of fellowship. Well, you know, people are weird. Yeah, you'll fit right in. Like one guy told me, well, you know, I'd go to church, but it's full of hypocrites. I literally told him, you know what? Really? Then in that case, you'll fit right in. And he was like, oh, yeah, I guess so, huh? You know, exactly. My relationship with Jesus is absolutely personal. It's me and him. But God never intended it to be private, a solo act. We grow with believers. In God's family, I am connected to every other believer. Amen? In the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse 4 and 5 from the NIV. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members. Talk about the human body. Each member, okay, and these members do not all have the same function. Verse 5, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Paul uses the illustration of a living body with living members. And, you know, if my hand is somehow severed from my body, it cannot live. If my little toe is somehow severed from my body, it cannot live. If a branch is severed from a tree, it cannot live. And a believer who is not part of a local body is like that. They're like a body part with no body. They're like a branch with no tree. They're like a child with no family. They're like a soldier with no army. They're just like that, just cut off from the life that God has for them. Amen? In the Bible, being a member means being a vital part of a living body, a vital organ, a vital part of a living body. It's called the body of Christ. Amen? And in order for any part of the body to fulfill its purpose, it must be connected to the body. We see here in Ephesians, we saw it a moment ago in Ephesians 4, how just being in the body and being part of a church will protect us from being deceived and believing wrong things and being deceived by somebody who's teaching the wrong thing. There's a protection in being part of the family. Amen. Pastor Rick Warren said this in Purpose-Driven Life. And if I could have improved on this quote, I would have. But it's so good, I'm going to give it to you verbatim. He said, the first symptom of spiritual decline is usually inconsistent attendance at worship services. Isn't it true? Haven't we all seen this in people that we love? The first symptom of spiritual decline is usually inconsistent attendance at worship services and other gatherings of believers. Whenever we become careless about fellowship, everything else begins to slide too. How dare we become careless about something Jesus died for? Jesus died. The Bible says, feed the flock of God, which he purchased with his blood. How dare I become careless about something he gave his life for? Yet people are so flippant. Oh, church, you know, I kind of go when I want to. Oh, yeah, but it rained today. Oh, yeah, but man, this is on TV. Oh, yeah, but I got, Jesus gave his life for this. Are you listening to me now? And so he says, the first symptom of spiritual decline is usually inconsistent attendance. Amen. And so it's so, so, so important. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, about verse number 24, again in the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24, the Bible says this, and it is so critically important. Hebrews 10, 24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Well, we can't do that if we don't meet with one another. Amen. Let me give you four reasons, and these will be on the screen, four reasons why you and I need a church family. Four reasons why you need a church family. Number one, a church family identifies you as a genuine believer. Listen, as a participating member of a church body, you learn to care about others, not just yourself. Wow. Wow. You know, here's what I know about God. God's will is our growth and our maturity. Amen. You know the way I grow in patience? And you know I need to grow in patience, right? Can you guys just tell by looking at me? Man. Are you like me? You go to the store and you try to pick the best line? And then you mark. I would have been that guy if I'd been in that line. Anybody do that besides me? Great minds think alike. Am I right? So how am I going to grow in patience? To be in situations where patience is necessary. How am I going to grow in love? To be in situations where love is necessary. And on and on and on and on. Which is why people don't grow apart from church. You just will not grow. Listen, it's not enough. Well, all I got to have is the Bible. Listen. Let's just go back to the gym. You can drink protein shakes until, I mean, that's all you live on, all right? You can read muscle and fitness and all this stuff until you can name every body part in Latin, all right? You know what I'm saying? But if you don't get in the gym, it's not going to work. It's called resistance training. Why? Because that weight don't want to move. And you have to exert muscle. And you have to exert force. And so just because you feed upon protein, or you go vegan, I don't care what you do. You drink a gallon of water a day. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Do any of it. You sleep 12 hours a day. Do it all. But if you don't get in the gym, it will not work. You will not grow. You're fooling yourself. Well, all I got to have is the Bible. Just the Bible and the Holy Ghost. I've heard him say that ignorantly. The Bible and the Holy Ghost. If you would read the Bible, you'd read Hebrews 10:24. You're right out there. You've gone home. You're almost saved by the bell right now, okay? Okay. Number two, a church family protects you from self-centered isolation. Oh, man. And we all need protection from that. Amen. As a participating member of a church body, you learn to care about others, not just yourself. Number three, a church family helps you grow to spiritual maturity. We just read that in Ephesians 4. We're commanded to love one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, support one another, greet one another. Doing these things will help us to grow. And they simply cannot be done in isolation. So a church family identifies you as a genuine believer. A church family protects you from self-centered isolation. A church family helps you grow to spiritual maturity. A church family will help keep you from backsliding. Man, you better believe it. Like somebody said, the first banana away from the bunch gets skinned, right? All right, so a church family will help keep you from backsliding. Now, none of us are immune to temptation. In a church family, you receive love, prayers, strength, support. Iron sharpens iron. You catch fire from somebody else who's on fire. You receive all these things, strength from other believers, and we help each other stay on track and stay on course. Amen. We need more than just the Bible to help us grow. We need to do the Bible to help us grow. We need each other. We need fellowship. And again, choosing to isolate oneself is one of the most selfish things a person can do. I understand people have been hurt in church. Let me tell you how. Let me tell you how to get hurt right here at Family Life. Just keep coming. Just come long enough. I don't care what church you go to. I'm trying to find the perfect church. Well, that's on the other side in heaven. You want to go there now? Till then, this is what you get. All right? And I understand people have been hurt. I don't mean to make light of that. I understand that. But the only way to overcome that is to get back in the game. It's the only way to overcome that. And then you can help somebody else. Amen. In their situations as well. Amen. And so this is, again, why life groups are so important. We grow together with other believers. We meet people who already know the Lord and will help us to know Him better as well. Amen. Now, this church family needs you. This body needs you. We need every part. Amen. The difference in being merely a spectator and a member is participation. One is kind of a consumer mentality. The other is a contributor mentality. Amen? This church needs you. And today, I want to ask you to make a commitment to God's second purpose for your life, which is fellowship. How do we do that? I'm going to ask you to commit to attend. That's a good thing to do. I just ought to show up, I think. Great idea. All right? I'm going to ask you to commit to participate in your church, to commit to give to your church, to commit to pray for your church, to commit to protect your church. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's pray about this today. I'm asking you to make this commitment today. And Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. This is serious stuff. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the family of God, the flock of God, which He purchased with His own blood. That's what we're talking about here this morning. So Lord, today we say, count me in. Today we're crossing the line. Today we're saying, I commit. I commit to be here. I commit to participate. I commit to give. I commit to pray. I commit to protect our church, our fellowship, our unity. Lord, we give it all to you. You have brought us together right now at this time in your divine plan. Your plans and your purposes will prevail in Family Life Church, in every single one of us. Lord, just do it. Lord, just receive our commitment now, and we make it with all of our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Say this, Lord, I commit. I commit to be a living part of a living church, of a living family. Thank you. You have more for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Turn around and high five somebody right now. Tell them it's true.
Thank you so much for listening in to hear the Word of God today. At Family Life Church, our purpose is to help you grow into full maturity in Christ. You can join us on Sundays at the Covina Center for the Performing Arts at 9:30 and 11 o'clock a.m.